Welcome to the Cornerstone Ministries Sermon Podcast. Each week, you'll hear powerful messages from our weekend services, plus midweek bonus content to help you grow deeper in your walk with Christ. Wherever you are, we want you to know God deeply, find freedom, and be empowered to make a difference for God's glory. To learn more about our church family or to connect with us, visit lifewithcornerstone.com.
Alrighty, what is up, church? We're excited to kind of jump into this new thing together, podcasting, and I'm so grateful that Pastor Paul and I get to sit down and do this together. And this came out of a really kind of interesting spot. I felt like the Lord was calling me to pursue my doctorate, and one of the things that was kind of an option for me in doing that was starting a podcast. So I really started researching a ton. And I realized we don't have an audio-only version of our sermons and things like that. And I just wandered into this space, and it kind of just synced up with similar visions, which is what excited me so much. But a big piece of this, and this is crazy to me, the average commute in the United States is 27.6 minutes.
That's insane.
It's crazy to me. Yeah. And when we were talking about
are you saying we have to keep this to 27 minutes or less? Because that's not possible for us.
No, it's you might have to watch this in two trips of something, cutting the grass, doing the dishes. But getting into podcasting, getting our sermons in audio, was trying to help people recapture those in-between moments.
Exactly.
Driving to work, cutting the grass, doing the dishes, cleaning the house, whatever it might be. Because even the title of this first episode, Exposing Your Soul to the Scriptures, what that looks like to do that on a daily basis beyond the weekend. So, Pastor Paul, as our lead pastor, how did your vision kind of come into this, and what vision do you have for us as a church as far as expanding the way we let the Scriptures speak into our lives on a daily basis?
Yeah, if God chooses to use this, you and I have talked about this, and if God chooses to use this in other platforms or other communities outside of Cornerstone, awesome, but this is Cornerstone.
Yeah.
Like, this is for our church and our community, and to dig deeper, because one of the things that folks are learning about the way I want to lead, and I think even that Pastor Dom is this way, I don't think, I know, is that what happens on the weekends isn't it. Like, that's not just the only thing. In fact, you'll hear me say a lot of times that if you have to choose between the weekend service experience or a small group, like, choose the small group, choose the life group, get into the accountable community. So I just see this as an extension of that. It's fun. It's good. It's engaging for folks that are out there. And I think God's really going to use it in a big way. But I will go back. You said that God kind of brought this about and brought some things together with your doctorate.
Yeah.
Is that what you said? So I get a doctorate for doing this with you? Is that what I heard you say?
I'll put an appendix into some of my papers.
Because that's a big reason that I want to do it. If I get a doctorate out of this, it'd be amazing.
Actually, I saw this clip of a guy who sent out, like, he sent letters to like 100 schools to try and get honorary doctorates. He got like 10 responses, and they were like, we don't do that. You can't request that.
No.
But I'll see what I can do.
Sorry, I digress. But you're exactly right. This is an extension of Sunday.
Yeah.
And so we'll see where it goes. We'll see what kind of fun things that we can pull off from this. And as we dive into the scriptures, because it's just one more piece of the puzzle to move people closer to Jesus. And I hope it's meaningful for folks. We're going to learn. We're going to grow together.
And I can't remember the artist name or the song, and the Lord just bring this to my mind now. But there was a song that came out not too long ago, maybe a couple of years, just the power of faith that goes beyond Sunday. Like, we got to call a spade a spade. American Christianity is just a weekend experience. Like, that's what we limit it to.
Yeah, in a lot of ways, 100%.
And the kind of the heartbeat of this initial episode or you know, recording is really to get us this place of, well, why are we doing this? Because your faith has to go beyond just a service. And the most direct access you have to the Lord, beyond a church or a pastor leading you there, so to speak, through preaching, is for you to start cultivating your own spiritual meals by getting into the text.
Yeah, and look, I'm a preacher at heart, right? And I wanna preach, but the reality, dude, is that you sweet folks that are listening to this right now are probably don't remember what I preached on Sunday. Like, they might remember a story. They might remember my monarch butterfly story that I talked about.
I have one. Yeah. It's cocooning.
See, I've changed it. Like, they're like, yeah, the joke about the butterfly flying to Mexico was great. We heard you wanted some Reebok pumps. Like, and I'm being in jest, but... Yeah. Like, you don't remember every single sermon during the, like, you remember those powerful monumental moments. And we work super hard. Did you know this? We work really, really hard on the content that we put out on the weekends, but that can't be it. You have to be able to get into the scriptures for yourself. And that's why I'm excited about stuff like this. I think it's going to be huge for us.
So beyond Pastor Paul, how have the scriptures shaped you, Hunter, like...
Yeah, and I know we're probably going to, if we have time, we're going to talk about just some practical stuff towards the end. But, like, I brought this with me because I wanted to show this to you. You didn't know I was going to do this. But this is My Utmost for His Highest. So this is Oswald Chambers. It's actually a collection. I didn't know this until just a few years ago. But apparently this, his wife, after he passed away or towards the end of his life, took his sermons and condensed them. And then made it into the devotional. And this is one of the original.
That's what that is?
Yeah, yeah. That's what they said it was. I didn't know that. I just thought it was like Oswald Chambers wrote a devotional, but it's not. It's the context of his sermons that he did over his life, and his wife put it together. Wow. And like, I carry this, and I have it in my office so I can see it. This was foundational for me to dive into the Word of God in a practical way when I was a teenager, like to get into it and to say that I'll say a lot that the Bible is living and breathing. It jumps off the page. Stuff like that's what I remember when I read it for the first time.
That's Oswald Chambers stuff.
Yes, that. And then just the scriptures where it enlightened. It's like, oh, that's what that means. And then to begin, it just begins to spiral because the Holy Spirit lives inside of each one of us. Mm-hmm. And He is going to illuminate and He's going to speak into those circumstances. And so sometimes you need, and again, I don't want to jump ahead, but sometimes you need stuff like this. For me, it was this, where I ran across it or somebody gave it to me. This book is almost 30 years old. And then it enhanced the Bible. And you know, like it just, the words come alive and jump off the pages. And it crushes my heart that so many Christ followers don't have that daily experience.
Yeah.
Because you and I don't have like a corner on the market on the Bible.
No. And I was thinking the same thing, as I think so many people get lost in this idea that, well, I can't understand the scripture, so I need a pastor to interpret.
Yeah.
Praise God, we have different spiritual giftings, and you and I are both preachers, and we love to communicate the word, but that does not mean we have some secret book in hiding. We're just, it's just reading the text. You even just said, like, there were some formative lines from Oswald Chambers, but he was just pulling from the text.
Exactly. Yeah, and that's what I want to be for people, because that's our calling all life. Like, I hope that people one day, I don't mean to minimize what we do on the weekends.
Yes, yeah.
Right? Can we just say that? It is important. But it's fun. To say it is. It should be.
Yeah.
I mean, Lord, I don't want to get in trouble. Like, Lord, help me. But, man, I've been to a lot of churches in my past where it felt like I was going into a funeral instead of going into, like, a pep rally and a celebration. And so, of course, the weekend experience is huge. I want to be that. I want to be, man, I remember one time my pastor preached this sermon. It changed my life. Oh, God used me in that way. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying that if that's all you're relying on, then you're going to miss out. And guys like Oswald Chambers and pastors and newer generational people, hopefully things like this have helped unlock the scriptures in a way that are absolutely incredible. Yeah. And you don't have to be a Bible scholar to do it.
No.
You know?
No, you just have to spend the time.
Yeah.
Like, and you know, you reference Oswald Chambers, how formative that, and I know that's still forming in you. Mm. But this was even just 3 months ago. Mm-hmm. I had the opportunity to speak in a camp, and the theme was to go through Daniel. And I'm studying through Daniel, which was hard to do with students.
That's
holy
a tough one.
Holy smokes.
Why'd you do that?
Well, that was the prompt they gave, but I loved it. Yeah, oh my gosh, I loved it. And Daniel 3:18 with the fiery furnace. I don't know how I missed these three words, but Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are about to be thrown in the fiery furnace by Nebuchadnezzar, and they're kind of challenged by him, and they say, listen, we believe our God can redeem us from this. It's verse 3:17. If this be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. He can do it. And he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. Verse 18, these three words wreck me. But if not, be it known to you, O king. I didn't recognize those three words until 3 months ago. And that's after, you know, 18 years of walking with Jesus and 18 years, like it, yep. It doesn't stop. You don't get to, don't complete.
You needed it then too. I would argue that there's something there that I've experienced. I'm curious your thoughts on this, that you have read that and you've read them.
Yeah.
But it wasn't until that moment that God wanted to use that to speak into your life. Mm-hmm. I have read text over and over and over and over again, and then go back and I'm preaching it years later, or I'm reading it again and then see it in exactly what you're saying. I go, of course I've read that a billion times, but I'm just now seeing it. Well, it's because I needed it in that moment. That's the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit to use his living word. Mm-hmm. And he did it for you in that, then the moment you needed it.
It's like the Lord knew what he was doing when he was writing
the
text. And like and oh my gosh, I love this, and how the Old Testament and the New Testament, then you have verses like Hebrews 4:12, the word of God is living, active.
Yeah.
Because it does stuff like that.
Right.
And then when we see people in church, not just Cornerstone, but just in general, say, I don't want to cook my own meal to feed myself and find the richness, the fun of that, of experimenting with new things and reading text again and studying new things and just saying, I'll just get it on the weekend.
Yeah.
This isn't preaching, we need more tithe. This is, you're missing out.
And you nailed it. It's amazing. And listen, can we just say the word that nobody wants to hear, especially in American Christianity? It's discipline. We got no problem reading our favorite new series, fictional series that came out, or watching our favorite the latest greatest Netflix
Murder
program,
mystery podcast,
whatever. And look, more power to you, but we somehow can't find time to get into the Word of God. And I'm not trying to beat you up. I'm just saying, like, that's the reality. It's kind of like the money thing. And I know I'm a preacher talking about money, but like, it's like the money thing I talk about. Like, you give me you print out your PNC statement or your Huntington Bank statement or wherever your bank is, I'll tell you where your priorities are.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, you can say, well, I don't have, it's the same thing here. I can say all day long, I don't have time. I've been more busy this week than I have been in 8 months since I've come to Cornerstone, but I want to make time to get into the Word of God because that's my lifeblood. And it's a discipline issue, I think, personally, at least it is for me.
But even what you just said about, you show us your PNC statement, your bank statement, we'll show you where priorities are. So, okay, so pastors, are we supposed to just buying commentaries, buying Bible? No, that's not what we're saying. You can't not, there's no way to read this book and not have it transform every area of your life, including money.
Yes.
And you brought up a study that when we were kind of just outlining, theorizing.
You asked me about this. I pulled it, by the way. Yeah, I pulled
it. Can you give me those numbers again? This is crazy.
I don't have my iPad here just to look smart for the audience. I remembered you mentioned this, and I was able to find it. It's, right, can I just read it?
Yeah,
Little just highlights of it. All right, so this is fascinating. And I used this in the, what series was this, dude?
Rhythms.
Was it Rhythms?
Rhythms on Bible study.
It was in a series that I wrote on Rhythms that you should go and buy that book. I don't know.
Got these new mics. You like leaned in like,
did you like
radio
that?
Voice.
Did you like the softness of my voice too?
I did.
that was creepy. The Center for Bible Engagement. All right, check this out. So Center for Bible Engagement sought to answer the question, why do so many people own Bibles, but so few of them read them? This is fascinating. And this isn't just like, oh, we went and talked to like 50 people. Like, this is a significant study. They studied over 400,000 people around the world from ages 8 to 80, right? 24 countries, 75 plus denominations, meaning like church denominations, Catholic, Baptist, non-denominational, whatever, and all major religions. So this wasn't just, it's interesting, right? Like a Bible, but they actually talked to people of all different sort of religions and faiths, schools, the general population, Christians, unchristians. This is phenomenal. Here's what they found. They found something they were not expecting that emerged outside of their expected parameters. And they ended up calling this phenomenon the power of four effect. And here's a quote from the study. Aren't you glad you asked this?
Yes, I am.
So a key discovery from the CBE research is that the life of someone who engages scriptures four or more times a week looks radically different from the life of someone who does not. It goes on to say, in fact, the lives of Christians who do not engage the Bible most days of the week are statistically the same as non-believers. So what they're saying is four times or more, they noticed there is something radically different. Not mm-hmm. one, not two, not three, but people, there's something happens at the fourth time scientifically that they've been able to measure and see in their research that that person's life is radically different. A person who does not, but claims to be a Christ follower, but does not engage the scripture, their life doesn't look any different than someone who would say that they're a non-believer.
Which you could argue is the entire point of being a believer.
Bingo. Exactly. And can I give you like, there's some percentages? Check this out. And then I promise I'll stop.
Yeah. No, go.
So someone who engages the Bible four more times a week is this. The study showed they are 228% more likely to share their faith with others.
Wow.
Another big one was they are 407% more likely to memorize scripture. Okay, so those are like, okay, Pastor Paul, I don't know that I want to share my faith. It's embarrassing, and I don't really want to memorize anything, so wow, geez. But here, let's check this one out. 59% less likely to view pornography.
Mm.
We can pretend that's a big one in our society. If I sit here and I can tell you you're struggling with loneliness and pornography and pornographic images and an addiction to that, and you're hiding that in your life, and I told you that I could make you 59% more less likely to view it, you would take that pill. And if I'm telling you just go read your Bible four more times a week and it's going to help, you would do it. 30% less likely to struggle with loneliness just by reading your
Bible. Just by reading.
Reading your Bible.
Wow.
Again, not one, not two, not three times, four times a week, there's a drastic difference in people's lives. And that's not me or you saying it, although I experience it when I'm good and I'm disciplined because I fail too. Mm. That's science telling you that it makes a difference. And it's because that Bible that you have in your lap and that you can buy and that most of us have in our nightstands at home is living and breathing, and the Holy Spirit wants to use it to absolutely radically reshape your life, but we oftentimes do not pick it up.
Yeah. And so you hear so many catchphrases, and we use them. We do. You know, it's the word of God's is like a hammer. You can build a house, or you can bludgeon someone with it. Mm-hmm. You know, which dog you gonna is gonna win a fight? Whichever one you feed more, like all these little things. But the four more rule in my mind. The first thing that goes to my head is now you're in the majority of your week.
Yep.
You are now feeding that spirit in you. And we look at passages like Galatians 5 where you've got the flesh and the spirit at war with each other. Right. And it's depressingly funny to me when we look at our life and say, why is nothing changing?
Yeah.
And it's the definition of insanity. Keep doing the same thing, expecting a different result.
I'm curious where you are on this. Like, people have told me, oh, that's so refreshing, Pastor, when you're honest like that. But I'm just trying to be real. Yeah. I'm curious where you are on this. Is like, how do I say this without sounding flippant? Like, I don't, when I read my Bible, most days I don't, like, get stuff out of it.
Oh, that.
Do you feel that way?
When pastors talk about, just me? And I'm not trying to call you out because you said it earlier on in this. You said like it's flying off the page. Most times it's not.
It's not. Yeah.
Most times it's not. But you said it. The discipline piece of I love the reason and all the intricacies of why so consistently in Scripture. The analogy of husband and wife is used for Christ in the church.
Mm-hmm.
You do not wake up every single day with lovey-dovey butterflies and hearts in your eyes.
What was the sermon we just did? And you actually pointed it out in the run-through. Suffering is actually long suffering. Remember what was the translation?
Was it endurance?
patience. Yeah. That was it a couple weeks ago.
Suffering.
See, we don't even remember the sermons we preached. Sorry. It is. That's the key. It's the long. Sometimes you're long suffering in your love. That's what you're talking about. Yeah.
So. Yeah, and I think sometimes we look at this, if you've genuinely come to faith in Christ, you know this on fire. I want to get in the Word. And you were transformed by a text. Mm-hmm. And then you go home and you start to read alone and go, why isn't this still transforming me? And it's just, you got to let this marinate on your spirit longer.
Takes time.
Like, and we're jumping around. I'm jumping around with analogies now.
Yeah, but it is. And I just think that's an important, and I appreciate you kind of saying that and calling me out, because it does. But when I talk about the Bible jumping off the pages in your life like that, it's not few and far between. I don't mean that.
Yes.
But like it's less times than the times that I'm just sitting there and I'm going, that was really boring.
Yes.
Like, can I just be straight up honest? Yo, reading Leviticus, that's tough to grind through. I'm trying to do a series, possibly. I remember I talked to you about this on Ecclesiastes. That's hard.
Oh,
I'm like,
yeah,
I don't know how to even do that. So like, it's okay. God's big enough to accept that. I think he's big enough to handle that.
Yeah.
But boy, it's those times though, when you continue to put in and you put the time in and you work and you're saying, Lord, I love you. And I know I want to spend time with you in your word, that man, it's when you need it. Something my mom always said, he's never on time, but he's always in time. Mm-hmm. And just when you need it, man, that's when it jumps off the pages. Mm-hmm. And it does feel like, holy cow, this happens every time I read the Bible. It doesn't, but you're putting the time in.
But I think we view that concept of feeling like it's not jumping off the page, and feeling like, because one of the pieces we wanted to hit are the barriers to studying the scriptures. And what I love about this is our notes are like out the window.
Yeah, I know.
It's just fun to talk about the word.
It's my fault. I'm sorry.
No, it's not. No.
Squirrel.
But it's just fun to talk about the word, because when you're talking about this idea of it not jumping off the page, is when I first came on staff, I got to do this. I don't know if we ever talked about this, but I got to do a class called The Whole Story, and it was around this idea of 66 books, one story. I got to take this class during my master's, which was the Bible as literature. And sometimes we view scripture with this micro lens. 1,000%, 1,000%, the Lord can communicate to us in three words, in a verse, you know, Jesus wept, and think like, well, what am I going to get out of that?
Right.
It reveals the humanity of Christ and all these theological depths.
Yeah, the theology behind it.
But he can also speak through the story as a whole.
Yes.
And take a fiction, you know, your favorite murder mystery or fantasy book or whatever you're into reading, you're not going to love every single chapter.
Right.
But it's the story that's being... this is the story of Christ, of humanity, and God reaching in and redeeming his creation. It is this beautiful romance, action, mystery, drama. Yeah. But when we only view it through a microscope, you miss the mosaic of it all.
I've often said it's his love letter to us. You ever heard me say that before?
Yeah.
And I don't remember where I heard that, but that's the way I feel about it. It's his love letter to us. And sometimes I'm not like super into the love letter, but then there are times where, you know, it's incredibly powerful, and there's a billion excuses, because we're human, and they're real. I don't want to be unkind or mean. I give those excuses. I don't have time. It's too confusing for me. How do you get those things out of it? Like, it's just putting the time into the word. And I'm a guy, it's like, I'm not against devotionals and stuff. I think that's a mistake to say, like don't, you know, get into the word by itself. Yeah, you need to do that, and I think that's important. But man, if you're struggling out there to get into the word, you don't know where to start, it can be intimidating. 100% it can. Then go get a really strong devotional. Talk to the pastors. Is where we're going to put this, inside language. Like, are we going to do, like, will there be a chat feed? Do you even know? Like, can people ask questions, or how is this going
to
work?
I mean, we're going to have some follow-up pieces to direct people.
This isn't in the notes, so I'm just putting you on the spot right now.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just curious.
But no, like, after we get this up on the podcast and in the video and everything like that, we'll establish some deeper follow-up.
Something. Yeah, but anyways, I was wondering, maybe you could type in the chat feature, or they could email us. Mm-hmm. What's your email? You want to tell the world what your email is? They can email you.
Info@cornerstone.com.
So good. What about your phone number? You want to give everybody your phone number, Pastor Brandon, and be accessible?
867-5309.
Is that the church number?
No, that's, you don't remember that song? What? 8675309.
I don't listen to secular music.
Okay. All right. You work at a church.
I listen to only worship music after my 3-hour prayer and Bible study time every morning at 4 o'clock because I'm a pastor. That's what I do.
If you're listening on audio, he is lying through his teeth. Uh-huh.
All jokes aside, sorry, I digress. You can tell, you give me like 20 minutes and then I start fading, bro. Then the content's gone. No. So, but like email the church, go to the resource center. We make a point. I make a point every series. If there's something good, I tell our business ops people, have these things on. We're going to be doing this series, Sex in a Broken World, coming up in 2 weeks, right? And or whenever this gets dropped, I think it'll be
like
this,
2 days before.
Yeah, 2 days before we start. Okay. There's a book Paul David Tripp wrote. Go to the resource center, look for opportunities. Just start somewhere.
Yeah.
Go back. You know what they could do? They could go back through James. We just did the series. And so now that you have like a survey and overview, now go back and start again and read it for yourself.
Yeah.
And don't discount the prayer factor too. When you sit down, Lord, Holy Spirit, speak to me through this. I'm hungry. What is it in Samuel? Speak, your servant wants to hear. Please speak into my life. And then trust the Holy Spirit that in his due time, he'll do it.
Yeah.
And watch what happens.
But that's one of the hurdles people have with studying the scriptures is that culture speaks into this and a ton, but I think when you get into Leviticus, you look at the Old Testament, you look at some of the language, and you go, "This isn't for me today."
Yeah,
and it's like, well, wait a second.
Yeah,
it is, but you have to like, yes, we. It's one of the other downfalls. Like you mentioned kind of this pitfall of trying to say, well, stay away from devotional, stay away from this. No, if you're struggling to come up with a recipe, you grab a cookbook.
Get
it's okay.
into it, yes.
You're still preparing your meal. It's all right.
One of my favorites is Paul David Tripp's New Morning Mercies. Is that the name of it? Shoot, it should have been more. Just look up Paul David Tripp devotionals. Anything he puts out right now is phenomenal. And so one of his is just phenomenal. I bought it for my wife. She's going through it right now. Mm-hmm. Bought it for Christmas, and she's going through it. And it gives you a scripture at the top. I don't know if you've maybe some of our listeners have never even don't even know what a devotional is. Well, it's just like this, My Up for His Highest. It's just you open it up to a day. Like here's June 1st, and then it has a scripture that you can read, and then it's just a little bit of a commentary. It's someone and what God said to them through that verse, and then you can go over what I encourage. So if you use a devotional, it's like this one is, I just randomly opened this up, Ezekiel 37:3. Well, go and read that chapter.
Yeah.
Like, don't just read that verse. Get into the Bible and try to read it. And then see what this person says. And there's phenomenal stuff that's out there in authors, but we can help you with that.
Yes.
All that to come full circle, that's what I was trying to say before I start chasing a rabbit, is ask the church. Ask us. Ask pastors. Yeah. We will help you.
This is a grotesque, horrible, like, phrase. It's like, it's okay if you go down the rabbit hole. Just shoot the rabbit.
Well,
like,
there you go. You said it. You went there.
But you were saying this pitfall of not of like, oh, we're not allowed to go to outside resources. But I think one of the other major pitfalls, and this is on me and on us as pastors, just in the United States in general, is we present the scriptures as if it's so easy. And we need to acknowledge, like, yes, it gets hard to the cultural context, and you've got different layers of laws and the names you cannot pronounce. Yeah. Here's a little tip. If you have to read the Bible out loud, just say the names fast. People will think you're right.
They don't have a clue. Like, nobody really knows. Yeah.
But the reality is the Lord's not going to look at us and go, hey, can you tell me the 12 tribes of Israel? What were their names? Where were they? Like, there's richness in the history of the Old Testament. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Is there truth for us? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But he wants the word to transform you.
Yes. And like, don't start with Revelation. Don't start with Leviticus.
Yes.
Don't start in Ecclesiastes or probably not even Genesis. Like, that's probably not the wisest thing in the world. Go to James.
Yeah.
Go to the Gospel of John. Yeah. Go read Ruth.
Yeah.
Check out that lady in the Bible. Incredible stories. Mm-hmm. Go read 1 Samuel and watch how God uses a young man to transform a nation. Like, that's literally in there. Mm-hmm. And then over time, some of that stuff begins. What will happen, and you know this, what will happen is you're reading along and you'll go, huh, well, I wonder why that name is in there. And you can go, and if you get you a good study Bible, I love the MacArthur Study Bible. And Pastor John MacArthur passed away recently, and God rest his soul. And I don't agree with everything theologically with John MacArthur, but I love his study Bible. We've got these also in the Resource Center. We have these in the Resource Center. If you want one for free, I'll go on record and say, we'll give you one. I don't know if we do that or not, but I just said
it. You better budget
$500. We're going to budget $5,000 to everybody that's going to want to go get a job. But this is phenomenal. Because you're reading along, and you're like, well, what does that mean? And it has a quote commentary at the bottom that's phenomenal. Yeah. Then it has cross-reference things that you can look and see where else it's mentioned in the Bible. Mm-hmm. There's like definitions in the back where you can look up, or, hey, how about this? I want to know about temptation because I'm really struggling with the temptation with the guy or the girl that I'm dating. What does the Bible have to say about that? Go back here and look it up. It's in here, and you can read all these scriptures in the Bible of what it says about temptation. And you watch and see if the Holy Spirit doesn't speak to you. Mm-hmm. But a lot of us don't know that that's out there. We just carry around a Bible our grandmother, God rest her soul, gave to us. Mm-hmm. That's King James Version. We can't understand half of what it's saying. Mm-hmm. But there's some amazing stuff that's out there. And we haven't even got into like technology and the things that are online, like the Bible app and the stuff that's out there.
My bread and butter, I go to it every single solitary time I open the Word, is Blue Letter Bible.
Yeah.
Blue Letter Bible is a free app. Free. You got commentaries on there. You can see if you want to nerd out on the Word like I like to and get the Greek and the Hebrew and all that stuff. And you don't have to go to seminary to learn the scriptures.
No.
You don't even have to take a single Bible class to learn the scriptures.
Exactly.
It's just read it, enjoy it, and then the beautiful element of the Holy Spirit, the way you think about this is a tangent, but the Holy Spirit is literally sent to confirm the truth.
Mm-hmm.
So you're now sitting here, or you're sitting in the car, or you're cutting the grass or whatever, and you're thinking, I don't know where to start. Just start and allow the Spirit to step into the middle.
Give him a chance.
Give
him a chance. Just give God a chance and watch. I guarantee you he will speak to you, and he will transform your life through the Word of God.
Mm.
Promise. I will make that promise. I can't promise you we'll give you a MacArthur Study Bible and a resource center, but I can promise that God will speak to you through his Word. You know?
So, church, listen, I know that we were running all over the place. If anything, I hope you hear just this is fun for us. So, if nothing else, I just enjoyed talking with you about this.
I know, this is fun.
But just to kind of recap some things, you know, and you really, you brought it full circle as you're getting to the end there, just the beauty of the text and how it can transform you, how we have to get beyond a weekend experience. And as daunting as that may seem, just start. Yeah. Don't be afraid to ask for help. Don't be afraid to grab a devotional. Get online for free commentaries. Ask any of our pastors, ministry leaders. We have a free subscription. Well, it's free for y'all with Right Now Media.
Yeah, that's right.
Hundreds,
oh my gosh,
thousands of
phenomenal
marriage studies, men's studies, women's studies, Christian-based TV shows for kids. Just go on the website, and you can type in any book and find a study. 10-minute videos with questions for you to reflect on.
Yep.
There is no excuse to not even say, let me try this out. That would almost be my challenge to you. I didn't plan on this. Pastor Paul, I bet you would just completely jump on this. I guarantee you, if you do that four more for 1 month, just 1 month, because you know it takes 7 weeks to create a habit. Right. I don't even think it won't take the Lord that long.
No.
If you do 1 month of four times a week.
That's good.
And don't get stuck into this. It's got to be 6:30 in the morning for an hour. No. That's another pitfall. Golly, we're getting all over the place.
I know.
It only takes 10 minutes.
Yeah. Just set aside 10 minutes when you get up before you go to bed. Don't get hung up on, I've got a journal, I've got to do, like, just start. Just start in the Word and watch what happens.
Man, this is so good. I don't want to be done. I really don't. But we don't want to hold you up anymore. We want to give you time to dig into the Word.
This is fun.
And I hope we get to do more of this. And but as we're continuing this conversation and why we're starting this, Pastor, do you want to kind of tease maybe where we're going in the future with more of this podcasting and how we want to get people into the Word more throughout the week?
Life with Cornerstone, right? Mm-hmm. That's going to be, that is the branding of the entire channel. Am I saying that right? So I don't know all the lingo. You should probably do it. But we're going to have different pieces underneath Life with Cornerstone. And so we're now going to be putting up under our young adult stuff a lot of the content that you're doing, you'll be fine. We're going to start putting our sermons, the audio only. We've had a lot of requests for that. So you'll be able to go in and listen. We want to start very, very well.
Yes.
So we're slow rolling this. So we could just do this every week and start putting stuff out, but we want to make sure it's well and it's with excellence. So we're going to see how this goes and we're learning. But I'm wanting to begin to have video-based podcasting in different areas where I'm looking at doing leadership. We want to do around the sermon and things that we didn't get to that kind of got dropped off on the cutting room floor. I want to begin to bring in people and interview them, some faith leaders, people that we're in touch with that could really help our church family, and interview them. And then we want to try to keep it 30 minutes, around that 30-minute thing, because of the commute and with people running and doing exercise and stuff as well. So keep let us know if you like it. Let us know how we're doing. Give us ideas. Give us feedback on it. And we're going to do the best that we can with it. Yeah. We hope the church, it's just another outlet for the church to grow. Like, I think you're the one that said that. I think I stole that from you. It's just one other piece of the puzzle to try to help people grow closer to Jesus Christ. So.
Yep. And that all of this is just, we as a church want to be faithful stewards to really the title of this, you know, initial podcast, exposing your soul to the scriptures, because that's what it'll do. It'll transform your soul.
Absolutely.
And if there's things we can do as a church to help facilitate, to be that, not replacement,
right,
additional resource.
Yeah, it's a community.
I'm really excited about that around the sermon piece.
Yeah, because it's gonna be
fun. I don't know about you, but how many times you heard a sermon and be like, oh, wait, why won't you talk more about that?
Yeah, right.
We want to get into that stuff. Yeah. You know, maybe we release those midweek and say, you know, sit down and say, Pastor, you said this. Even I think about your sermon on, you know, when you talked about the monarch butterfly, you joked about that earlier on, and talking about patience and thinking about, well, when, like one of the random questions that popped in my head during that sermon, and this is a teaser, you're not going to get the answer to this, but one of the ones that came up for me was, well, where do I draw the line to move on from a toxic relationship, and it's no longer good to be patient with that person? Yeah. Those types of questions that you get hit with during a sermon, we want to get into those to help you apply the scriptures. So I'm excited for where we're going to go, but thanks for tuning in.
Yeah, thanks for everybody. Listening. It's going to be good.
Fun.
All right, till next time.
Thanks for joining us at the Cornerstone Ministry Sermon Podcast. If you have questions about Cornerstone, your faith journey, or you need prayer, please visit lifewithcornerstone.com to get connected.